We've got a pretty familiar parenting experience in Luke today, as 12-year-old Jesus and his parents visit Jerusalem for Passover. Surely some of you here can imagine saying something like, "Honestly, Jesus, how long does it take you to get out the door?" I mean, you think you're on your way to the car, and then you realize that he's still looking for something that he wants to bring with him. I think this experience plagues many families. I grew up on Dennis Lee's poetry, and for some reason, one of the poems I can still recite is this one. "Dawdle, dawdle, dawdle, it's the daddies and the mums, dawdling with their apple juice, dawdling with their crumbs. So hurry up and scurry up and hurry, scurry, worry up. Thank goodness there are kids around to make them stop their dawdling." I'd like to just take a second to congratulate all the kids who made it to church with your dawdling parents in tow. This is hard work, and we're glad you are here. Dennis Lee is good at turning our expectations upside down, and that's sort of what our fall worship will look like, as Judy has already said, as we engage with stories when Jesus might have been expected to do one thing if he followed his social expectations, but actually he goes a different direction. The stories may be familiar to you, but as we hear the stories of how Jesus surprised the people around him, there's always a story in our own lives, too, in which we can wonder, might Jesus be calling me to go in a different direction, one that I didn't expect or that will surprise others? We're walking in the footsteps of a subversive Savior, or as my friend Emily likes to call him, Sneaky Jesus. Circumstances might make us assume one course of action, but Jesus, well, we'll see as the fall goes on. Today we consider that at some times circumstances call for action, but Jesus lingers. So we're back to the 12-year-old that Mary and Joseph can't get out the door. I think this is a neat story for the notion of lingering, because kids might be best at teaching it to adults. How long does it take to take a young child for a walk when there are fascinating things to stop and see at every few paces? There's no hurrying that. Or the mysteriously long attention span of 2-year-old twins to watch a construction site. Wow. The kids in my life teach me to linger. When I've got a little body snuggled up on either side of me reading book after book, there's really nowhere else I need to be. I realize that the reality of raising kids also involves a whole lot of hurrying from one place to the next. But kids do remind me to linger, to just spend time without agenda, to be with. Lingering without agenda can be hard when we're so programmed to be defined by what we do in life. And there's always a to-do list with our names on it. We plan out our weeks and our months and our years, and we rush around for fear of missing something or letting our kids miss out on something. But I find that kids don't miss much. Sometimes the call from Jesus is just to linger a little longer, move a little slower, talk a little less, listen a little more, and to see what happens when we just wait. I've often explained to people that the Mennonite World Conference assemblies that happen every 6 years aren't really about making decisions or accomplishing agenda. I mean, there are groups that gather at those times and they do the same good work that they do between assemblies. There's the MWC Peace Commission, which helps strengthen our peace identity and develops initiatives to work at cooperatively. The Deacon Commission focuses on the welfare of the churches within the MWC communion and offers listening, prayer, encouragement, and support to churches who feel the need to be walked with. The Mission Commission provides churches with resources and a forum for dialogue on global witness and service. And the Faith and Life Commission enables churches to receive and provide counsel on Christian faith and practice, as well as on Anabaptist Mennonite witness in the world today. And the General Council and Executive draw it all together. But for most of us who attend MWC assemblies, they're about lingering together and seeing what grows out of the relationships that form when you just slow down and spend time. And we spent that time in worshiping God in our many different languages, in various ways, even through study and service and joyful, life-sized, hungry, hungry hippos, if you're fortunate enough to be young enough. I chose the second Luke passage because of Jesus' words, "You cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you?" And I think Jesus would have enjoyed the party at MWC Assembly in Pennsylvania this July. There were still real challenges to return home to after assembly was done. Anabaptist Mennonite churches are growing fastest in regions that are economically and financially impoverished. The laws of our host country prevented hundreds of people from acquiring visas and attending. Many of us were very aware that Mennonite Church USA had just come from a very painful national convention of their own, where many people felt silenced. All of this was still true, and was named and lamented and confronted in various ways. But there we all were, and we couldn't only fast. So like the Pharisees complained, we ate and drank, and we sang and prayed and laughed and questioned, and we lingered together in God's presence. Why linger? Why does Jesus linger? What happens when we linger with each other and with God? When we linger, we see and hear. Jesus sat among the teachers, listening to them, learning their stories and their lessons. As we move quickly through life, like the kids running down the aisles, we develop tunnel vision, often seeing only ourselves and where we need to go next and the chairs not to run into. Lingering means the blinders come off, and we can see what other people see. We hear what other people hear, what other people say. Lingering is taking the time for an unplanned conversation. It's not ignoring the little voice in your head that says, "That person seems upset," and finding an opportunity to listen. Lingering is not just speeding through a Bible reading as you prepare for Sunday school. It's asking, "What's going on here? What does this mean?" As we lingered at MWC Assembly in Harrisburg this summer, we heard the voices of young Anabaptists from around the world who responded to the words spoken by various commission representatives each morning. We heard the personal story of Remelin Mondes, for example, who grew up affected by a major church conflict between two different groups, two different conferences of Mennonites who had come to do mission in her home country of the Philippines. "Remember," she told us, "remember that there are young people caught in the middle of your church conflicts." As we lingered in workshops, I heard the stories of African countries in which churches are dealing with issues of post-colonialism. I heard Rebecca Osiro, a theologian pastor in Kenya and the new MWC vice president, say, "In one way or another, directly or indirectly, we are still colonizing one another." And though I knew she spoke of her home continent, I thought about the legacies of colonial attitudes in Canada, and I thought about using the language of colonization in other situations. Anytime one group holds more power than the other, even if the group in power claims to be small and weak, we can colonize one another by closing doors and maintaining unjust structures. I just began reading the summary report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and I consider how we are still colonizing one another through that legacy. I also saw the show This Will Lead to Dancing on Friday, and I reflect on the language of colonization as LGBTQ individuals are shut out of faith communities. And if you're not coming to the choir rehearsal this Thursday, I still recommend you go see it at Grable this Thursday night. It's an excellent show. We've moved on in our lingering here. I said when we linger, we see and hear. And then when we linger, we touch and feel. Jesus wasn't only listening to the teachers in the temple, he was also asking them questions. Very young children are also very good at lingering on one question. Why? 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 When we truly linger with others in their joy, in their suffering, in their stories, those joys, those sufferings, those stories begin to become our own. Even more than listening, we seek to understand. We come close enough to touch those stories, to pick them up and feel how heavy they are, or to appreciate their beauty. And we feel them as with our own lives. When there's a thorn in the foot, the whole body bends over to pull it out, says a Bantu proverb. The whole body feels the pain of the foot. When we linger, when we spend time seeing and hearing, our hearts may open to feel something new. When we linger with Jesus, asking questions, his questions become our own. His compassion becomes our own. His wisdom moves into our grasp. When we linger, we touch and feel. And finally, when we linger, we move and grow. Once we have seen and heard people's stories and touched and felt them as our own, our next opportunity, if we linger just a little longer before rushing off, is to move and grow. In Luke's telling of the story, as a boy, Jesus already had an appetite for being in the presence of God and God's people and learning what they had to teach. Like any good rabbi, once Jesus started his ministry, his background in the Jewish scriptures was clear, knowing them inside out well enough that he could say to his challengers, "You keep using that verse. I do not think it means what you think it means." Princess Bride fans? No? Okay. Jesus had spent time lingering in and studying the record of God's word to God's people. And then it moved him in all of the subversive, surprising steps he took. When we slow down and spend time with Jesus, he brings us to move from our stuck places and to grow into more Christ-like selves. And sometimes Jesus will do this when we choose to slow down and linger with the people near us, hearing their stories, feeling them as our own, and then being brave enough to let them change us, move and grow us. One conversation I was particularly grateful for at MWC Assembly happened when I sat down by myself at a lunch table, joining two people from Zimbabwe. As we talked, we reminisced that we had both attended the assembly in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, 12 years ago, and I delighted him by pronouncing his last name smoothly and knowing that it meant elephant. He was a pastor, too, and he told me the story that I've already shared here about his female colleague and how she managed to insist on getting her visa to come. And then he also shared very honestly with me that he didn't understand how the North American Mennonite churches could be talking about same-sex relationships. He thought that he had understood the biblical message on this topic. But, he said, he wanted to try to understand. He did not want to judge without doing his own investigation of these different ideas that others seemed to be learning. Even though he had felt confident in his perspective, he wanted to see if he could understand something new when he put the time and effort into seeking that understanding. And I believe he wanted to do this because we are a global church family, the body of Christ. And what happens in the toe affects the rest of the body. This conversation was so different than from some of the fear that I often hear about what will happen to our relationships in the global church if Mennonite Church Canada were to make room for differing perspectives on LGBTQ inclusion in the church. Just because I had been given the time for that conversation with that pastor, I saw how one brother across the world is ready to make himself open, to move and to grow by lingering with the perspectives of others. I really hope he hasn't lost my business card in his travels and that I will still hear from him as he seeks resources to see things from a different point of view. But because he has made his heart open to the possibility, I trust that God will bring it to him somehow. God can bring movement and growth even when we fight it or try to rush by it. But an open, lingering heart is a fertile field where God can plant. In the next week or two, you will hear more from me in writing about where MC Canada's Being a Faithful Church process is at and how we will address the call here for further Bible study and personal story hearing that I received from you in the surveys that we did in the spring. The BFC Task Force has distributed a lengthy summary of our process thus far, and it includes a recommendation that the MC Canada delegates will be asked to consider next July at Assembly. You'll have time to read it all soon. I will send it to you. But it's a recommendation for making room. Making room in our denomination for congregations who have faithfully come to different understandings on committed same-sex relationships. Some in our Canadian family will feel that this move is too big, and some will feel that this move is not big enough. For those who feel that the move is too big, I hope that we can linger together in study and stories later this fall and see where God will take us. For those who feel that the move is not big enough, I think of an excellent workshop that I attended at the Cahoots Festival this summer. That's the social justice weekend that Randy Newdorf came and preached about. The facilitators who resource congregations in process around LGBTQ questions and who support LGBTQ Christians reminded us that baby steps, for example, from being actively against to passively against to ambivalent, are actually each really big steps to celebrate and be grateful for. It's a time of movement in the Mennonite Church in Canada. Some see growth and others feel fear. My prayer is that we can linger together, see each other as children of God, and hear each other's stories. Touch on the matters that are close to each other's hearts and feel each other's pain and joy. And I pray that in God we will move and grow into ever more Christ-like footsteps, going about our Creator's business and not fasting when it's time to celebrate with Jesus.